A very good morning to you all.
Morning.
Sorry, it seems as if I'm losing my voice. I'm catching a cold from the commitments of the week. From last Saturday, we were at the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland in Edinburgh. So I went from Lucas every morning to Edinburgh and back. It was a nice experience. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would love to welcome everybody to our service. We have some Cameroonians around who came from Coventry. I think they are trying to rush down. It was a long night, so we went to bed quite late, but they'll be coming through. So welcome to all of you who are here this morning. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are following the service on Zoom, and also to those who will be following the service afterwards on our church website. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day we Christian people believe that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples when they were gathered in one place in Jerusalem. And of course, we know that story from Acts chapter 2. The people started speaking in different languages. Maybe we will try to do that today in church, some speaking in tongues. Just one intimation for the interest of especially the worship team or others who would like to explore taking services or to know a little bit more about discipleship. The University of Edinburgh is offering short courses for church people, and everybody is welcome. There is going to be a course on New Testament and its world, which starts in September. There's another one on navigating the church's mission. This one starts in October, and there is one, Introduction to Pioneer Ministry and Church Planting, starting next January. And some of these courses are very important, especially the one on pioneer ministry, especially at a time when the Church of Scotland is going through so many changes in its structures and all that. If you want to know more about that, please see me at some point or speak to me. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 118, verses 24 to 29. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We sing our first hymn, Come, Holy Spirit, Come, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we approach your holy presence today with hearts filled with gratitude and anticipation. We come before you as a diverse congregation united by the power of your Spirit and the transformative work of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we gather in this sacred space, we invite your Holy Spirit to fill us anew, guiding our thoughts, words, and actions. And may this time of worship be a true encounter with your divine presence. Lord God, our Redeemer and Sustainer, we lift our voices in gratitude for the promises revealed to us in your word. We thank you for the words of the prophet Joel, reminding us that you are a gracious and compassionate God, abounding in love and ever ready to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. We are humbled and overwhelmed by your constant presence and the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you, dear Father, for the promise of the Holy Spirit given to us by your Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful that through the Spirit's presence you abide with us, comforting us in times of trouble and leading us into all truth. Thank you for empowering us to be your witnesses, sharing your love and grace with the world around us. We praise you for the ministries and personalities throughout history who were guided by the Holy Spirit, bringing light to dark places and inspiring generations to follow your ways. Thank you for their faithfulness and their enduring legacy, which continues to touch lives and transform communities. Merciful God, we come before you acknowledging our need for your forgiveness and cleansing. We confess that at times we have neglected the power and guidance of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We have relied on our own strength and wisdom, failing to surrender ourselves fully to your divine leading. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have ignored the promptings of your Spirit, choosing our own desires over your will. Forgive us for the times when we have remained silent in the face of injustice, failing to be agents of reconciliation and peace in our world. We confess our shortcomings in reflecting the love and compassion of Christ to those around us. We have often been indifferent to the needs of others, neglecting to extend a helping hand or a word of encouragement. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of compassion and self-centeredness. And as we cannot remember all the sins we've committed against you and fellow people, we now pray in the words our Savior gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, children. Do we have some in church? We have some. Come on, come on. Hello, everyone. Good morning to you all. How are we today? We are good? So how was your week? Good? Today is a very special day in the life of the church, and that is why I am dressed in a very special way. Do you like my dress? Nice? In my country, those who used to wear this were kings or chiefs, very important people. I'm not a king. I'm not a chief. But maybe I'm a king in the church. So today is a special day. Who knows why today is very important in the life of the church? Can anyone remember? Yes? Yeah. It's Pentecost. Wonderful. Let us clap for Ariel. It's Pentecost. What's the meaning of Pentecost? You don't know, but at least you know it's Pentecost, which is good. Do you want to try? What happened on Pentecost Day? Okay, guess. I want to assure you, every guess you make is correct. What happened on Pentecost? Okay, so, sometimes, many years ago, the Jews were gathered in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land. And they were gathered for a feast. But then suddenly, something came on the heads of the disciples of Jesus, like tongues of fire. Have you ever heard about that? Tongues of fire, and what happened? What happened when tongues of fire came on their heads? What happened? They started speaking, yes, Michaela? Languages. Different languages, that's the answer. Let's clap for Michaela. They started speaking different languages. So can you imagine in this church that everybody just starts speaking in a different language? How would that look like? Confusion? We will be confused. I'm sure that all these Cameroonians you see, if we started speaking here, we will definitely speak languages that some of us will not understand. Even though all of us come from the same country, it's different here because everybody understands English, but we have so many ethnic groups, about 280 of them in Cameroon. That means so many different languages. So you can imagine what happened that day. Everybody was speaking in a different language. But the important thing is, after that, the people got power because it was the Holy Spirit that had descended upon them. And when they spoke in those languages, they were speaking in tongues, different languages. They now had power to go out and talk about Jesus Christ to other people. The significance of this story is that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to do something. And what do you think is that thing we need to do when the Holy Spirit is upon us? What should we do? From the story. Were you following the story? When the Spirit came upon the disciples, what did they do? I just said a while ago. They started preaching and teaching the word of God. So what should we do when the Holy Spirit is upon us? Talk about God. Do we talk about God to our friends? Do we? Oh, let's clap for them if they do that. When you do that, Remember that it is the Holy Spirit that is giving you the power and the courage and the boldness. So let us talk about Christ to our friends. And let us invite them to church. I want to see more children in church next time. So tell your friends, invite them to come to church. The Holy Spirit gives us power. It gives us strength. It makes us bold. It empowers us. It transforms us. So let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day and for the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms and changes our lives and enables us to be ambassadors for Christ. And we pray for our children, as young as they are, we know that they are growing in their own faith. Each week, as we teach them about your word, continue to open their hearts and bless their lives. Continue to strengthen us for the service that we offer to you and to humanity. For we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Come, now is the time to worship. Hymn 196.
Thank you. Testament reading this morning is from Joel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. A New Testament reading this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 23 to 27. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while you are still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Amen. May God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. The next hymn is number 251, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I will say, I will
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, as the revealer of truth, we invite you to speak to us through your word. Enlighten our understanding that we may grasp the depth and riches and richness of your promises and teachings contained in these passages of Scripture. Remove any distractions or preconceived notions that hinder us from fully receiving the message you have for us today. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today I want us to think of the power of the Holy Spirit bringing peace to the world and Christian discipleship. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And as I said before, it is the day Christian people believe that the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples and enabled them to witness for Christ. So it's about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our midst. I read about a lady who took her 4-year-old granddaughter to the big church for the first time. And she sat quietly taking in every aspect of the service. But her attentive curiosity stayed in check until the pastoral prayer came forth. This is how the pastor prayed. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Immediately after that, the little girl's eyes flew open and she whispered to her grandmother, "Granny, we are going to get presents." Of course, we are receiving a present today, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we gather here this morning as a diverse congregation. We have Cameroonians who have come all the way from Coventry, and they are worshiping with us in their wonderful colors. We have Scottish Presbyterians, our own church here in Newport. We are united by our shared faith in Jesus Christ. Regardless of our backgrounds or cultural differences, we are bound together by the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. So today we think about the role of the Holy Spirit in bringing peace to our world and nurturing Christian discipleship as we draw inspiration from the texts that were read to us. In Joel chapter 2, the prophet speaks of a future time when God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within believers, empowering them to proclaim the gospel fearlessly and with great authority. And this promise extends to all those who call on the name of the Lord. So just as the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early disciples, imagine a mighty rushing wind filling this sanctuary today, symbolizing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all we need to do is open our hearts to receive these divine gifts. But when the Holy Spirit comes to us, it accomplishes many other good things. For example, it brings peace to our weary souls and our sick world. Our Lord Jesus Christ promises the disciples that the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, will be sent to them. So the Holy Spirit is not only our comforter, but also the source of peace that transcends human understanding. And this is a very important message for all of us. In a world that is torn by conflict, violence, and division, the Holy Spirit works to bring about reconciliation, peace, and unity. Think about the story of Nelson Mandela, that great leader of South Africa. It's a man who endured decades of imprisonment, yet emerged with a heart filled with forgiveness and a vision of reconciliation. I think the influence of the Holy Spirit within Mandela's life transformed him into an instrument of peace, helping to heal a nation and inspire the world. But the Holy Spirit also plays a vital role in Christian discipleship. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, leads us to repentance, and empowers us to live a life that glorifies God. The Spirit guides us into our spiritual journey, illuminating the Word of God and enabling us to discern His will for our lives. Think of Mother Teresa, that humble servant who dedicated her life to caring for the destitute and dying in the streets of Calcutta. It was the Holy Spirit walking through her that ignited a flame of love and compassion, touching the lives of countless individuals and inspiring others to follow in her footsteps. What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life and through you to our world? Many other people have done wonderful things through the influence of the Holy Spirit. Think of ministries and personalities empowered by the Holy Spirit. Throughout history, we find numerous examples of ministries and personalities that flourished under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Consider figures such as John Wesley, who ignited the Methodist movement, or Mary Slessor, our own, who fearlessly brought the light of the gospel to remote regions in Africa, especially in Nigeria. These individuals were ordinary people, but they yielded themselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit and accomplished extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. Dear Christian brothers and sisters, what are the effects of the Holy Spirit in your own life? As we celebrate the Pentecost, let's think of its profound effects. Think, for example, of regeneration. The Holy Spirit brings about spiritual rebirth in believers. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, individuals experience a transformative change at the core of their being. They are born again and become new creations in Christ. But the Holy Spirit also unifies believers and creates a sense of community within the church. That is why we are here today. Cameroonians and Scottish or British. Because the power of the Holy Spirit brings us together. It enables believers to love one another, to bear each other's burdens and work together for the common purpose of glorifying God. And through the Spirit's work, diverse individuals are united as one body in Christ. But most importantly, the Holy Spirit enables us to witness and to evangelize for Christ. It emboldens believers to proclaim the gospel and bear witness to Christ. The Spirit works through us, convicting hearts and drawing people to salvation. And the Spirit's presence and power enables Christians to share their faith with confidence and effectiveness. How I wish Christian people in secular Britain realize that the Spirit, they have been given an assignment to proclaim the good news of salvation to many people and to the many souls that are perishing. But we are often shy. We don't want to offend anybody by talking to them about Jesus Christ or about an old, outdated religion of centuries ago, which in the view of many people has no relevance for our time. But if we are to be good Christian disciples, we must take up our cross and follow Christ. And that means speaking boldly about Jesus to people and serving as instruments of peace and righteousness in our world. Brothers and sisters, as we reflect on the words of Scripture on this Pentecost Sunday, let us remember the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit in bringing peace to the world and nurturing our Christian discipleship. Just as the Holy Spirit transformed the lives of individuals throughout history, He continues to work in and through us today. May we open our hearts to the leading of the Holy Spirit, allowing His power to bring peace to our land and to empower us to be effective witnesses of the love of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for your word to us this morning. We acknowledge the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. But we confess for times, O Father, when we have not allowed ourselves to be used by your Spirit. Help us to surrender everything about us into your hands so that you would use us to bring your message of salvation to the world as we continue to build your kingdom here on earth. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The Lord is good and all the time. The Lord is good and all the time. Well, I introduced Cameroonian Christians in their absence. Now they are present. And at this time in our service, they will sing for us. We are raising funds for a project in Cameroon to install solar panel at the Presbyterian Theological Seminary, where all ministers of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon are trained. Because the issue of light is a problem in most parts of Africa, we are hoping that if they have a solar panel, that will solve that problem. So they are going to go out and do what they did last time when they came for Anna's baptism and sing into the church and just stand here and continue to sing until I ask them to stop. And when I ask them to stop, they should be kind enough to stop. So stand here. If any members in the congregation will want to support, they will just try to move your body and dance also when you come for offering. That's what we do in Cameroon. Thank you so much, our dear brothers and sisters from Coventry. Of course, last night, Coventry did not really do well in the match against Luton, but next time, with this wonderful singing today in the church, next time you will do better. God is faithful. And thank you so much for your singing. We will now move on to another item of today's service, the stated annual meeting. And I will ask Francis, deputizing for Graham, the session clerk, to come forward.
Good morning. Yes, unfortunately, Graham has been called into work. So he rang me this morning and asked if I would take over, in effect. So in terms of the agenda and the actual minutes of last year's meeting, they have, as far as I understand, both been published and aware on the church's website, and the approved financial statement, the annual report and accounts have also been available. Are there any apologies for absence to be recorded in addition to those in attendance? That's fine. The minutes of the stated annual general meeting held on the 13th of March 2022, the minutes, as I say, having been published and available on the website for somewhere in the order of at least 12, if not 13 months, and available at the back of the church this morning. Are there any issues, any corrections, or can we take them as stated, proved? That's fine. Then we will accept them and approve them. Item number 4 is the finance report, and I will pass over to Philip, our financial convener.
This is the exciting bit for some people. The one stipulation in Church of Scotland law is that the meeting today has to be held and that the Kirk Session, in our case, has to present to the congregation the approved accounts. Here they are. I present them to you. I will very briefly, there are copies available at the back or online, I'll very briefly skim through one or two highlights or significant points in them just to give you a slight flavour of what there is, but I won't intend to dwell too long. The first page we have concerns the general income, and as you can see, the blue spot on the right are our offerings, which form almost half of the money we take in, nearly £48,000. The orange section at the bottom is the tax we recover from our kind government through gift aid, and the green space up the top left is the contribution that Mana make towards the costs of our youth worker. So from the general running of the church, that's where the income mainly comes from. There are one or two other bits and pieces as well, obviously, and one or two other aspects of the church, but not as large as the main running of the church. The next slide is the general expenditure, showing where we spend the money, and the chunk on the right, the blue chunk, is the what's called ministries and mission allocation, money we pay to church headquarters to pay for our minister, other ministers for churches who can't fully afford one, for the wider work of the church as well. So over £44,000 last year went that way. It's a sum we're assessed on based on our income from previous years. So somewhere between a third and a half goes straight to headquarters. The bottom left chunk, the grey chunk, £35,000 worth, are our staffing costs. And that covers the staff at Mana, our youth worker, our cleaners, our organist, and various people like that. So a large chunk, and a similarly large chunk, goes towards paying for local people as well. And the other big one up in the top left, the green one, is our building costs, which are primarily the repairs to the buildings and the cost of certifying that they're suitable to run and everything else, along with cleaning materials and goodness knows what else. So a lot of our expenditure goes in predefined ways and with no great say at the end of the day over all of that or how to save some of that or whatever. So it's all there for us. The next slide just shows some of the funds that we do have. The money is in the bank or it's invested, but it's in different pots, as it were. General fund on our left, And that shows the bright red was the income last year, the level of income last year, and the paler orange is the expenditure last year. So last year, we had a slight surplus. This year, the dark blue, the light blue, with a slight deficit in our funds. Not huge, not significant, but it's there. We're just breaking even all year to year, as it were. The next two big blocks there are mana. Last year, a good-ish level of income, especially as they were closed for a part of that year, and a chunk of that income came from the government again through the COVID support funds and other things like that. The expenditure was a good bit lower because staff weren't there the whole time. We did pay them their full base salary, but we didn't have the outgoings for the foods and the coffee and things like that that we sell. So last year was lower than normal. This year, the two blue ones, a normal year, very close to breaking even at Mana after contributing that money to the church to help pay for the youth worker, which is why Mana primarily was set up in the first place. Those of you who know a bit about VAT know that the threshold for taxable income is £85,000, and above that, any organisation will have to register for VAT and suffer 20% VAT on what they sell. Now, some of that income is not taxable, so we are just below that threshold, but it is very tight. It's something we are keeping a close eye on. But even if the income drops, the expenditure is pretty much up there. So it's a fine line that we walk. The middle one there, the youth work, shows how we have some money coming in, primarily from Mana, and we have money going out for Chris and for the work that he does. So we're eating into the youth work fund that we have, but not drastically at this stage. Fabric fund is there. It varies from year to year. It was higher last year, partly because we had an insurance claim, which is why the income was a wee bit higher than it is in 2021, is slightly higher in expenditure, a good bit higher than it is for the last year, 2022. The other funds, the Sunday club, the gardening, all these sort of things, are there. They're ticking along reasonably well and reasonably small, not to worry anybody unduly. The balance sheet, what we have and how we allocate it. The fixed assets on the left, we actually own the top four shops across the road, as most of you will know, and we hold a value for them. Investments, we have money actually invested in a fund through Barclays Investments, so that is in itself invested in stocks and shares, although not directly through us. So there's a good lot of money there. The value of it goes up and down year to year, as you can expect. The debtors and creditors, it's just money that are either due to us or we're due somebody at the end of the financial year. The cash at bank is a slight misnomer. There's that money in the bank, but there's also the vast majority of that is held by the Church of Scotland Investment Trust. So it's not just sitting in the Virgin Money account across the water. It is with the church in Edinburgh and earning us money. And that figures there covers both ourselves and Mana. Moving across to the right, how we have it earmarked. General fund is for the normal running of the church. Designated funds, the highest one, are funds like the Fabric Fund, the Sunday school running, things like that, where we ourselves have decided what the money will be held for and what will be used for, so we have control over it and can move money around if we so wish. The restricted funds are similar but different. That primarily covers the money from Mana, because the money given to Mana, the sales they have on the menu and always has been since the day ones, is we are raising money through this to help fund the youth worker. So we can't easily take that money away and spend it on something else. So it does mean there's still a good buffer there to keep Chris in a job for a couple of years or thereby. But Mana will continue, as Diane will no doubt help us on that one. The endowment funds are money where people have given us money many years ago, specifically only to use the interest to help pay for the minister and other work in the church. So, as you can see, we've a good bit of money there. I'm pausing at the moment because the cash at bank, sitting up at just on 100,000, two-thirds of that is the church's, the other rest of it is Mana's, but that is what we will need to use in the not-too-distant future to fund the work that's about to be done in the church. Most of you will know, I'm sure, we had some plaster fell from the ceiling, and we've been in the hall since then. Work is about to start. tomorrow, all being well. The roofing contractor is coming to start on the roof. Initially fixed the vents, the wooden vents at the top where the water got in, to damage the plasterwork, but also to fix a good number of slates as well. The timescale, that will take a couple of weeks. During that, the plasterer will come in. Then, once it's dried, the painter will come in and paint it. Once that's done, the scaffolding will come down, the church is tidied up, and we move back in. All being well by the end of next month, if it all runs to schedule and runs smoothly. Don't hold me to that or Dawn by any other means, but that's the timescale. We're looking to be back in church in around a month's time. It won't be any quicker, but we hope it won't be longer than that. Just a quick analysis. The next one, where the money comes from. You saw the big blue portion at the beginning. A lot of it's offerings. The left-hand column, the vast majority come from gift aid donations, people who either give money through the WFO, that's the pale blue weekly envelopes, or they pay money through standing order through the bank, and they've signed a gift aid declaration because they pay tax. It then allows us to get 25% of that money back from the government, which is the next column, the tax recovered. We have some people who don't pay tax but still give us regular money, which is the non-gift aid, the WFO, the weekly free will offering. Open plate is the money that goes in the plate at the front door when you come in on a Sunday, and other donations are occasional gifts from some people. So the vast majority is regular money coming in. That doesn't mean to say we can't do with a lot more, because moving on to the budget, and not that budget, but our budget, you will recall, same slide, the bulk of the income comes from the offerings and from manna. The expenditure on the next slide mainly goes to support ministries and the other local staff and the fabric and other work of the church. So we still do need money to come in. We budget for the regular money coming in for the main account, and the next slide shows an abbreviated graph of that, which distorts it quite a bit, but it does show you total income for 2021 in the grey column, 2022 in the orange column. Income very similar for the 2 years. We're hoping for a good increase for this year. That's everybody giving that bit more, new people giving more, people who haven't given before to give more and give regularly, ideally with the tax. The expenditure, the right-hand three blocks, has been climbing, as we all know from our own households, and we know we can't ask huge amounts from you, but whatever you can, we will gratefully accept. If we're quick, the money might not get to Cameroon and we'll get a shot of it here. But I suspect somehow I'll not be quick enough, and there's more Cameroonians than there are of me. So by all means, please do take that money with our blessing, and we do bless you with that work. Are there any questions? That's fine. I'll hand back to Francis.
Yes, thank you, Philip, for your meticulous maintenance of our accounts and the very comprehensive manner in which you present your report. Thank you. It's also been reassuring not to see a luxury white camper van appearing on the road outside Philip's house. Move on to the next item, which is the minister's report.
Hello, everyone. And good afternoon. It's afternoon now. I think the main tasks of the minister is first and foremost to provide spiritual direction and to lead in worship services, which I think these things are going quite well. And with the kind assistance of a very able worship team, so that when the minister is not there, we have not been spending on pulpit supply. That also means keeping that money which would have been spent. But apart from that, we've been increasingly developing other ways to nurture the congregation spiritually. And one of these was introduced a few years ago when I started doing 40 days of Lenten prayers and reflections, hoping that that at least spurs up our people and builds up spiritual lives. We continue with work in care homes weekly, Wednesdays at St. Serves and Fridays in Craighead. We started Craighead recently, but I think they have overtaken St. Serves, because at St. Serves we find just about 2-3 persons attending now. But in Craighead, we get 15 to 20 people at our services. It's almost a full church. Recently, I've made visits to the Riverview Care Home, and I'm now exploring whether I can provide services there and also serve communion, as there seemed to be a need for that to happen. And of course, other things have been taking funerals and conducting funerals both at crematoriums and also in the church, and visiting some of our church members when it is necessary. Overall, I think that the work of the ministry is going well, and the fact that we can still find one or two new persons joining our congregation, it means we are doing something right. So keep up the good work. And as I said in my sermon, let us talk to people about the Christian faith and the Church of God. It is important as disciples of Christ. So thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Amos. On the agenda, it says other reports. I'm not sure if there are any other reports to be presented, in which case we can now return to our service of worship. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful service. We thank you for bringing us to worship and to glorify your most high name on this Pentecost day. We pray today for all those who are unable to be with us in person, whether through ill health or caring commitments to another. Be with them, Lord, and minister to them at this most difficult time. We pray for all that is going on in this place in terms of your work. Continue to bless us and empower us to be witnesses in the world. Thank you for bringing our brothers and sisters from Coventry, for the time we've spent together in this service. Continue to enrich our fellowship as we serve the needs of one another. Thank you too for our stated annual meeting and for its success. As we go out into the world, we pray that you will go with us, and may we continue to be ambassadors for Christ. Pour out your Spirit on us anew, and grant that we may speak your universal language of repentance, forgiveness, acceptance, love, and salvation to all who will hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A final hymn, Glory Be to God the Father, hymn 110.
Thank you.
bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.